Okay, so good morning again to everyone. As you said just before the rosary, the theme for our retreat is the art of prayer. I've taken that as the title because it is the phrase that was used by Pope John Paul II himself at the start of the millennium when he wrote about prayer and holiness. But recently, I mean very recently, in the last week or more, we've witnessed the third in a series of publications in Italian. These publications have really come about because of some of the things Pope John Paul II said in his document Novo Millennio Iniunte, a document which was signed at the end of the Jubilee year, in which he spoke about prayer and holiness. These publications in Italian, the first one that was produced, which really preceded, well, it did precede that document, Novo Millennio Iniunte, they are dictionaries or encyclopedias to do with mysticism, spirituality, and prayer. At present, as far as I know, they're only in Italian. But the third volume, this Encyclopedia of Prayer, was published and presented from the Vatican on the 19th of February. So it's just 10 days ago. And in that publication, it's published by the Vatican Publishing House, and it was presented at the Pontifical Lateran University on the 19th of February. It speaks about the history of prayer in the Church, how it is perceived and practiced by Christ and through the 2,000 years to the present day, with various insights. And it's in the course of this weekend that we're exploring that distinction which is made between prayers and praying, both of which are very good. Pope John Paul II, in that document, Novo Millennio Iniunte, he said that there is not only a renewed need for prayer, but he said in that same section, we who believe in Christ and have received the grace of believing in Christ have a duty to show to what depths the relationship with Christ can lead. As disciples of Christ, we have a duty, I'm quoting, we have a duty to show to what depths the relationship with Christ can lead. Therefore, since prayer is what feeds, illuminates, and directs our discipleship, our relationship with Christ, we should not be satisfied with something that John Paul II identified in a previous section in the same document, which he labelled mediocre religiosity. We should not be satisfied with mediocre religiosity, that is, just fulfilling the requirements and expectations minimally that come from the Church. So if the Church says you have to go to confession at least once a year, we'll just do the minimum and go once a year. Since the Church says we are duty-bound to go to Mass on Sunday, then we might approach that minimally and not because of circumstances and say, so I'll just go to Mass once a week. But the Pope is not here referring to obligations, but he is referring to a relationship with Christ, which he says that as people who have a life of enjoying a relationship with Christ, there is a duty upon us to show the depths to which that relationship with Christ can become. Since, you know, if I was addressing a group of people who never pray and are here just to find out the first step one should take in approaching prayer, it would be a very different retreat. But I know that you and the people who are likely to listen to this are not people who are the non-praying, but the people who have been praying maybe many years and find themselves in an experience of needing direction, both practical and inspirational, to be able to achieve not a cleverer, a more clever way of praying, but a deeper relationship with Christ. The deep relationship with Christ is not possible with superficial prayer. And when Jesus said, you know, in his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, in those few paragraphs about prayer, when he said, don't babble like the pagans, he's not really talking about the quantity of words, but rather, don't let prayer simply become words. Don't let prayer, don't let your prayer, or he could have said, don't let our relationship, that is, Jesus speaking to you one-to-one, don't let our relationship be mere words, babbling. Where the words express what is in here, and where the words express your relationship with Christ and his relationship with you, then they're coming from the right place, the heart. Of course, no one would ever suggest throw formula of prayer out of the window. Liturgical prayer, the Holy Mass, is a formula. But formula prayer, if it is not coming out of a praying heart that enjoys non-formula expressions of relationship with Christ, then that those liturgical prayers and devotional prayers that we can learn and pray by rote, like the Rosary, Divine Mercy Chaplet, Novenas, and so on, the danger can be that without knowing it, we actually believe that this is what prayer is, reciting formulas. This, of course, is not new to you, and it's certainly not the first time that I've spoken in this way here. But we haven't just taken the theme of prayer in isolation and really probe what prayer is about. Fortunately, we have a weight of not only teaching, but a phenomenal weight of experience in the church over these last 2,000 years, from which we can draw from. And wherever each one of us is at, and by that I don't mean, you know, those who are better in their relationship with Christ and those who are less in their relationship with Christ. No. When I say where we are at, whether we're in a period of great zeal and passion and enthusiasm to being in what seems a very difficult, dry, arid, desert-like walk with Christ, wherever we are at, in any of that, all extremes and every gradation in between those extremes is relationship with Christ. They are all relationship with Christ. Aridity does not mean worse, and zeal and passion does not mean better. In fact, if I was to say anything, it would be that it's the exact opposite to that. Because zeal, enthusiasm, depending on its source, can be quite superficial. Whereas anybody who is pursuing relationship with Christ in the experience of aridity, that's got real substance, real depth, and therefore greater merit. Let's hear one or two words from Pope John Paul II in this. He said in section 32 of Novo Millennio Iniunte, he said, the Christian life should be distinguished above all in the art of prayer. The Christian life should be distinguished above all in the art of prayer. Now, a more immediate response from us might be, surely charitable works would be a more distinguishable feature of our discipleship with Christ. And sure, to have prayer going on in the background, underpinning those charitable works. But rather, everything instead is being highlighted here, and he's simply highlighting something that's said by so many doctors of the church and mystics in the church. And remember, John Paul II was an expert, especially on the writings of St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila. You know that his doctoral thesis was on St. John of the Cross. It was on faith in the light of the writings of St. John of the Cross. It's what his doctoral thesis was on. But he was a man, a soul, whose great depth and breadth of reading concerning mystics and the doctors of the church in relation to the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity that really shine through all his documents. I want to begin where he begins here in this section of the Christian should be distinguished above all in the art of prayer. that the art of prayer, in his understanding of John of the Cross, is fundamentally due to the theological virtue of faith. Faith is what gives substance to prayer. In fact, to pray means you have faith. Without faith, you will not pray. And it could be, I'm not talking about great faith, it could be, if one could measure faith, the tiniest fragment of faith that might make someone who never goes to church, has never thought much about God before, living a life of great sin, find themselves in a dire situation and cry out to God. Not that they believe with any great conviction, but it was the slightest presence of faith given them by God which made them cry out to him. St. Paul makes the doctrine clear. You cannot cry out to God without the Holy Spirit. In his letter to the Romans, he makes it clear. It is the Holy Spirit who causes us to cry out to God. He says, Abba, Father. But that doesn't mean you have to use the word Abba in order to be speaking to God. Any reaching out to God in the most desperate situation is where the Catechism of the Catholic Church begins in her presentation on prayer. In that whole section on prayer in the Catechism, it begins by saying that prayer is the raising of the heart or mind to God. And so therefore, just the beginning of turning to God means interiorly you have raised up your attention in your mind and heart to him. So, while prayer is simply that which comes from within us, and you cannot turn to God without the Holy Spirit, it's created a great debate down the centuries of the church. Can you be totally devoid of grace and pray? For the one who is living a life of serious sin and then find themselves in situations where everything has failed and they cry out to God, you cannot do that under human condition alone. The Holy Spirit has to cause you to cry out, and maybe God has permitted the dire situation to get you cornered so you have nowhere else to cry out to, or anyone else to cry out to. And so, in fact, the dire situation was, in fact, in a strange way, a blessing from God, because it cornered you and provoked a turning towards him. That raising up, we're not talking here about raising up in terms of mystical experience. It means just a turning, an interior turning towards God. Those experiences might be frequent, and then when the person, having cried out intellectually, might say to themselves, oh, but I don't really believe in God anyway, and so dismiss it. The very fact that they cried out to God was a moment of encounter between God and themselves, even if it was very short-lived. But who knows what a series of moments might accomplish at a later stage. We should never, even if someone says, you know, I'm coming back to church, and they go to church once, twice, three times, five times, and stop, you know, lose the desire. A soul can never accomplish that under natural disposition alone. The Holy Spirit is the author of all prayer and is the author of every relationship with Christ.